Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey.
What are you doing?
I'm Paddy Power.
I get that, but why are you wearing nothing but a pair of green underpants with your own name on the waistband?
That's what I do. It gets people's attention.
This is a radio ad. I'm the only one who can see you.
Oh, well, this is awkward.
You could at least have waxed.
Sign up to Paddy Power today at paddypower.com/ramble and get a free 20 quid bet once you bet a tenner. And I might even keep my clothes on. But look how flattering it is when I jump up and down. Ole, 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 ole.
Please stop.
Pick up a podcast. Oh, you have, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you back for another week. I do love you lot. My name's Marcus and I've got Pete with me.
Yes, yes, hello.
Luke's here.
Flavour, all right.
Jim makes up
hello.
The thrilling three.
Hello.
Deep. Yeah. Was deep. How are we, men?
Well. Good.
Beautiful, beautiful. Right. After Noble got sent off for West Ham, Big Sam was watching it, presumably on his laptop, and he disagreed with the second bookable offence and thus said... He needs a new laptop. If you could get Big Sam a gift, what would it be, Pete?
I'd get him some kind of course in how computers work, maybe. Or possibly
yeah,
just...
They don't edit reality.
Yeah, they don't edit reality. Bearing in mind, Noble's got 37 yellows, 3 reds from 161 Premier League games. That's a lot.
That is quite a lot.
That is a lot.
Take a look at yourself, Noble.
I'd also get him a keyboard protector for Gravy. Because Gravy...
Early mench for Gravy.
It's going to be splashback, isn't it?
I knew it would happen.
Yep. A cheap shot.
Yeah. New knees. Probably under a lot of pressure right now.
Another cheap shot. Go for your hat-trick, mate. Go for your hat-trick.
Okay. I would get him some invisible undies. Because it doesn't matter what he wears anyway, because he has not even a nascent gut. It's a gigantic gut.
He's not that massive.
No, he's not. He's a normal-sized football manager, if anything.
Yeah, he's an English football manager.
That's what I'm trying to think of a fatter Premier League manager than Allardyce. There's probably not one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Luke, what have you got?
Okay. I would like to purchase him a copy of Football Manager for his new laptop.
Oh, yes.
So he can finally live his dream.
Uh-huh.
Of managing Real Madrid or Inter without the prejudice of real life management
of everybody else.
Yes, yeah,
let's have the quote.
The quote is: I should be. I'm not suited to Bolton or Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more suited to Inter or Real Madrid. It wouldn't be a problem for me to go to manage those clubs because I would win the double or the league every time. He starts off saying double. He rows back a bit to the boathouse saying the league. All right, just the league this time. Doesn't matter, Sam. You're not getting the job.
Can I have a bit of gravy on that paella.
That was said with tongue firmly in cheek, though, wasn't it?
Very much.
And also probably a massive roast dinner that comes in a big Yorkshire pudding.
Also, in its entirety, in one of his cheeks. Yeah. Like a hamster.
Just digging it out. Yeah. He's got so many full ones in there.
No, the only problem with that, on his head like a beret and just munching it through it.
The only problem with that hamster analogy is that he would never leave food in his mouth for that long.
Wayne Rooney's headband kind of looks like a half-eaten Sam Allardyce Yorkshire pudding that he's just put in his head.
He's eating the bottom out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Big Sam loves a Toby Carver, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As we all do. I mean, there's no shame in that.
He resembles a Toby Jug.
Yeah. Jim, what have you got for us, babe?
Continuing the very mature gravy theme.
Yeah.
You know, every Christmas when Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall shoves loads of different, like, edible
birds
inside
themselves.
I'd just get him one of them in like a big barrel of gravy.
Would it be birds or would it be other things?
Whatever he'd want, really.
Okay. Gammon?
Any animal. I'm sure he's probably quite open to trying different meats.
as we all are. Yeah.
We're not meat fascists here.
No.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'd probably give him some stock cubes. so he could get going with his own gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody got a problem with that? No, good. who's got the points? Al Luke's got the points.
Thank you.
Yours was a gravy-less answer.
Yeah. I felt like mine was less of a cheap shot. I mean, it was still a bit of a cheap shot, but not as bad.
You're harking back to one of the man's great quotes.
Yeah, I'm only giving him what he said himself.
Exactly. You only beat what's put in front of you.
Yeah.
Eat what's put in front of you.
That is also true, yeah.
I mean, what the people out there don't realise is that we've recorded, you know, 10 minutes of this show before and the computer broke, so we're having to do it again.
Yeah.
So, if anything, we've ramped up the abuse towards... It was the first time we recorded this start, it was kind of all right.
When we do it again, when we have to do it again in a minute, it'll just be, Allardyce, what a can! That's all it'll be.
Luke won the points both times, though. Yeah, I was consistent.
And I should be claiming both of them. it's like when a game's called off. It gone beyond a certain minute, so yeah. I get the keeper. Yeah.
It was a six-pointer, that.
Yeah, it was.
The definition. Dear, let's move on to the Premier League, where Manchester City beat Manchester United 4-1. That was the same in the previous.
David Moyes might wish it wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Moyes, they talked about he had a few tests, didn't he, at the start of his Manchester United reign. The first one, I think, was against Liverpool. Or was it Chelsea? I personally, I didn't think he failed the Chelsea test, but there was the Liverpool one, which, of course, they lost. He failed.
Did he not,
Manchester City was a big one.
Did they not have to test him for those mitochondrion that Jedis have?
Did they have to test him for that, did they?
Well, obviously, Alex Ferguson's like this chosen one kind of character. Yeah.
That's probably what the Premier League, that's a fit and proper person kind of thing. Yeah. Doing things like that, that's why so many people. Moyes, they'd lost 4-1.
It's interesting.
Hammered 4-1.
It's early to...
What are they hammered, though?
This is a crazy thing to say, really, but if you take the goals away from the stats columns and look at all the other stats, it wasn't really a hammering on paper. Obviously, they got beat 4, so it's a poor result, whichever way you look at it.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where the manner of the defeat was also very, very discouraging. And if they're not careful, although it is early to say, and we've been over the upheaval and the transition period they'll have to go through, but it looks like Moyes is just transposing his big 4... record to Manchester United because his record against big clubs was difficult and they didn't really have much success doing it. So they've got to be careful. I mean, some of the individual performances were poor, really poor, actually. In fact, I actually thought Valencia was just as bad, just as culpable as Ashley Young, but he sort of got away with it because Ashley Young is a convenient, and rightly so, scapegoat at the moment.
We've had a go at Ashley Young a couple of times recently on this show.
Yeah,
and he
deserves it, though.
He's been poor, and the frustrating thing is he's a good player. We've seen him play very well in the Premier League.
How long has he become a good player? How long does he keep being a good player, though? How many poor performances does he need to put out? In a way, it links into the whole England thing. I mean, he plays for England when he's fit a lot of the time, and should he be playing for them?
He's playing badly for country and club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this, though, is down to Moyes working out what he has within his squad. You know, you can look at as many videos and whatnot as you like, but he has to find out firsthand from his own experiences of managing the team what certain players can do for him. So I'm sure he probably will get a rest in a little while, but he needs to, you know, give them all a chance, doesn't he?
I think the problem is it's a derby game, so the fans rightly expect a certain level of performance, a certain level of desire. Sometimes you'll get beaten by good teams, and Man City are a good team, but the manner in which they conceded goals and the manner in which they conducted themselves, Manchester United, on occasion during that game was really, really poor. I mean, I think it was the third goal where Kompany intercepted the Ashley Young pass, not long before Ashley Young was dragged off, I don't think.
Kompany was straight up there.
Well, I mean,
Ashley
Young didn't even try to get the ball back.
Yeah.
Now, at any level of football, you know, you're always told if you give it away, you don't want to drag yourself all out of shape and stuff like that. But you need to at least try to get the ball back. And if he had tracked Kompany, he should be faster than Kompany. He's a winger.
It's come to that with Young, perhaps. With like you're actually saying, you've got to at least try to track back.
Indeed. He's just head down all the time. His end product's poor. He doesn't really seem to do anything. I saw someone in The Guardian today saying, look, he's in danger of becoming known for the guy who just dives. He doesn't do anything else. Yeah. And if you look at who they've got on the bench, it's particularly Shinji Kagawa. Now, they're different, slightly different players, but, I mean, what Kagawa's got to do to get in that team? I mean, presuming he's fit. I know he has had an awful lot of football recently, but he should at least be playing a part in these games. Mm. And then when United take off Ashley Young and shuffle it a bit and bring on Tom Cleverley, who, you know, isn't really that great either, then you really start to realise how big their problems are.
What did you think of Rooney's performance? Because actually, I didn't think he did too badly.
What a free kick.
It was an incredible free kick. A world-class free kick
for me. It was magnificent.
It could not have been put. It could have been put maybe a postage stamp to the right better.
Yeah.
One of the great meaningless goals.
It was in the top three free kicks of the weekend.
You say meaningless goals, but I think I'm right in saying he's now the top scorer in Manchester derbies.
Yeah. Yes.
What a way to do it.
That'll be a consolation to Man United fans today, wouldn't it?
There's too many stats nowadays. You know, 20 years ago, nobody thought about this crap. It's nonsense. No. It really is.
I wonder how many Messi holds. I think it's some
ridiculous.
No, just generally.
Same as me, mate.
Stat for whatever. There was something like 130 records he broke last season or something.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Lazy, isn't
it? I mean, for me, the most sort of telling thing was how drunk Fellaini looked. Yeah. The fact that Nasri had so much space to finish off that.
He had a lovely time.
And he's a man who's, you know, didn't have a great season last season, but, you know, if he can sort of kick on and put a couple of performances in, I think, you know, they may make 10% of their money back on Sami Nasri.
Are you suggesting that United were hammered because they were quite literally hammered?
Hammered. Yeah. They were at really important times. They suddenly got really distracted by a hoarding.
I have heard disturbing rumours, and I can't substantiate them. They are just rumours.
Just put them out there then.
There's a big heroin culture at Man United. And Ashley Young and Valencia in particular. I mean, I saw Valencia.
Was it started by Big Ron?
Valencia was supposed to take a corner at one point, and I saw him just nodding off. He's just nodding off.
Yeah. Just drooling.
Like a 70s psychedelic guitarist.
Not a performance enhancing drug.
No.
Fair
like
to say.
Bubs in the Wire.
Yeah.
Like drooling.
Yeah. Ashley Young is Marlo, isn't he? He looks like Marlo.
Very much so.
He needs to stop getting high on his own supply. That's what he's doing.
We've been critical of Manchester United.
None of these people are on drugs.
To our knowledge.
But if they get to the FA Cup final and they've penned a magnificently psychedelic song, then who knows? Jim, what about Manchester City, though?
Yeah, I mean, credit to them, as much as United have been criticised here.
What an opening goal.
Sergio Aguero's goal, like, absolutely magnificent. He looks like the player he was a couple of seasons ago. He wasn't so, didn't seem quite himself for large periods of last season, did he? But that kind of volley was the kind of thing we were getting. Perhaps he did.
Yeah, but
well, I think it's more to do with the fact they won the league for the first time in so long, and there's sort of a natural inertia. Gary Neville talks about it quite a lot. It's so hard to raise yourself to that level again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not just Aguero as well. I mean, Yaya Toure, Vincent Kompany, all their big players are performing for Pellegrini. And
absolutely.
We touched earlier on in the show that will never be heard.
Touched on.
Touched on that earlier and how sort of. It seemed like the players weren't playing for Mancini at the end. And you almost forget how good some of these individuals are. And even Sami Nasri as well. He was just a passenger for a large part of last season. He was excellent as well.
Jesus Navas was getting involved as well.
I mean, I was at the cup final when they obviously were beaten by Wigan. And if you didn't know any better, Nasri and Toure, their performance at the weekend compared to their performance in the cup final, like different players.
Different.
And I don't know what sort of... I mean, in a way, this Nasri fact about him covering the most ground on the pitch really sums up what we're saying, which is that Manchester United were in the situation where they were chasing that game for all of it, pretty much. And how is a Man City player covering the most ground on the pitch by some distance? It doesn't make any sense. And it just shows you that what can happen is, you know, if a player performs badly in one particular position or two or three positions, it can infiltrate the rest of the team. Rio Ferdinand was making... Remember Rio Ferdinand years and years ago? He was so good, but he was having concentration issues.
Yeah,
it just seemed like it was just because it was too easy for him.
He's having
those concentration issues now and he's nowhere near that level.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, how old's Ferdinand? 33, 34?
Well, I imagine that players like him, players like Fellaini, players like Young are dragging that average down, you know, the amount of metres covered per match, you know what I mean?
It certainly seems that way. I think you shouldn't take anything away from City. They're a good team and there's a good win, and that will happen against good teams.
That's it.
But there's no excuse for the manner of a defeat. In many ways, similar to how they lost to Liverpool, they started to get petulant, started to make silly errors, and that's what happened. And it could have been more than four, really.
What I would say to Manchester United fans, though, 4-1 away at City is not as bad as 6-1
at home
to City.
Yeah.
Don't worry. you've lived through worse.
Also, RVP was on the pitch. So.
Okay.
Just before before we move on, De Gea wasn't really good either.
No.
He should have saved one of Aguero's goals, which is very close to him, and he also almost let in a Taibbi-esque one, didn't he, as well?
He leapt back onto his line and then had to have a quick switch.
Spin around.
Yeah. So all in all, day to forget for United.
It'll be all right in the end, don't you worry. Yeah. Don't you worry. But well done to Manchester City. West Brom 3, Sunderland 0.
How many managers West Brom? West Brom's seen off so many managers.
They love it, don't they? Are you giving them credit for Ferguson?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
They saw off Houghton, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they saw off VS Bias as well, didn't
they? Yes, they did, yeah, yeah. And they've
unbelievable.
Seen, now they've seen off Big Di Canio.
Yeah.
13 games in charge, Di Canio. 13 games. That's all it took.
Yeah. It feels like longer, doesn't it? Feels like longer for those fans.
For those players, good God. It was there like was a shouting summer. Tasmanian devil in the bloody
I have to say that I think you guys are the only people that would blame West Brom for Paolo Di Canio, not Paolo Di Canio getting the sack.
Well, you've got to really look at...
You've got to point the finger.
Well, Di Canio's impact last season, he only won two games. Now, one of them was a Newcastle win, yeah, obviously, which is going to endear him to the fans, of course.
Yeah.
But I think in total, he won two and drew two, which was enough to keep him up. But it wasn't a great record. They got hammered by Villa, didn't they, as well? Yeah. And so in many ways, his impact was never really felt anyway.
He did effectively save him from relegation. I know that was a field that was, you know...
Do you not think Martin O'Neill would have done that?
At the end
no.
of the day...
not in the state he left.
In the history books, it will go down to Di Canio. He was in charge and they were saved from relegation. Whether the impact was great or not, he was there and he kept them up.
Yeah, but that entry in the history book will be very short, won't it?
Yeah, well, no, but I think that I would suggest that Sunderland... appointed him just a little bit of fire in the belly and boot them all up the backside and keep them up.
It's a price.
But I think that was it.
I don't think you can admonish the board and Ellis Short from blame for a few reasons, but most importantly because Di Canio and his advisors did a deal where they would get every penny of the contract if he was fired, which is a terrible piece of business and isn't really thinking long term. That's sort of short term. That's thinking long term. Yep. They've not said, oh, yeah, you can be manager for 8 games or 10 games or whatever you said, 13 games. Secondly, I know there's a different setup when it comes to recruitment at Sunderland, but Di Canio is certainly involved with a huge amount of players going one way a huge new players coming in.
He saw so many players and bought like an entire team. Yeah.
They're still going to be banging trouble, even if they get a new manager.
To back up your point and sort of contradict myself slightly, actually, from the early point that I was beginning to make, they've got a director of football now who, Italian chap himself, and I think he was there who
and he's not been sacked, has he?
No, he's not been sacked, but he was kind of getting Di Canio in, and I think a lot of the background staff, or backroom staff rather, are Italian guys, and it's a more continental system, perhaps Di Canio's used to. He was an advocate of that kind of thing, so the next person going in...
The timescale it takes, if he's not the right manager for the job today... He wasn't the right manager for the job 6 months ago, and they hired him 6 months ago, so they need to take some of the blame for that.
Of course. It has to be that, you know, his just behaviour became ridiculous, just to the point where it was worth the money to get rid of him.
Must be,
It's just unreal. I mean, the talk is that he'd said to... Because he'd been publicly slating players by name, personally, in the press, which is outrageous.
2 games in the season.
Yeah, really, really harsh. And apparently he invited certain players to go to the board and ask for him to be sacked if they didn't want to play for him, which they just did.
Well, no, that's
it
not...
It worked.
It's not quite... They had a crisis meeting. Di Canio called them in on the Sunday after the game and then started pointing the finger at certain players, and they turned around and told him what they thought of him in explicit terms. And he said, well, if you don't like it, go and tell them to sack me.
I believe that was spearheaded by Lee Catamar, actually, if you can believe that, which I'm sure you can. One of the things that reminds me of is what... Clive Woodward, who won the World Cup with England.
Rugby World
Cup. Yeah, and he... He said that it's the conceived wisdom or the sort of accepted...
He said it's the right decision.
It's the accepted wisdom that when you win a game, you give your players a day off as a reward and you say, right, see you on Monday, whatever. When you lose a game, you invite your players in to try and sort it out. He said what you should do is the opposite. If they win a game, you should say, right, get yourself back in tomorrow because we want to keep this going. If you lose a game, you say, have a day or two off, forget about it, get out of your system.
Mm. Yeah.
And so Di Canio's obviously gone for the opposite of that. Now, that's not why he's a bad manager. I think he's probably outdated his style, doesn't really work with top players, as we said at the start. But
I think tactically he's probably okay.
He did very, very well with Swindon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the man management problem,
Steve,
isn't it?
Steve Bruce, who we'll come on to in just a minute, Pete, don't you worry. he said that Di Canio's man management style is you just can't do that in the Premier League.
Yeah. No. It's not going to really, wash the players who are actually good.
He shouts, and we saw what he was like at Swindon. Remember when he pulled the goalkeeper off, so to speak, about 15 minutes in or something?
Yeah.
He's very fiery, as we all know, and we've used that word many times to describe the man.
The thing he did with the crowd was pure partridge. For me, that was even better. That was even better than the big man, Phil Brown, at Hull.
It was up there?
Yeah.
What does he expect? With that,
but not getting
out
too close. Yeah. Like not getting too close, kind of.
And getting some sort of weird sign language type standoff.
I thought he was doing that thing that Italians do where they say, F off.
I think he was doing chin up.
I know he was doing chin up, yeah. But it looked like he was doing, you know, that.
Yeah, if you're in the stands, you might not be sure.
Kind of like.
I'm not going to completely absolve Sunderland fans from blame for this. Disappointing amount of wanker signs.
Well, it should have been more.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. After a while, even the fans turned to go back inside, weren't they?
No, I think the fans were so baffled. Yeah. He's come out. Is he slagging us off?
No, they've never seen someone in a suit before.
Oh, dear.
That's
nasty.
Okay.
That's undone all those years of hard work on that Sunderland podcast you sometimes guest on, isn't it?
When Decadio was asked at his last press conference for Sunderland after the match against West Brom, he was asked, what were you trying to say to the fans after the game? And he said, pick me, blame me, leave the players out. I have no worries about that because they are supporters.
They are, Paolo, they are.
so he's saying, pick me, I'm the one who's to blame. Then he calls a crisis meeting, gets everybody and goes, right, you lot are to blame.
And he canes the players in public anyway.
I don't think that's quite in the right order, though, is it?
Well, no, he's slagging the players off in public before. Yeah. Then he says, blame me. Then he calls the crisis meeting and then blames the players.
Maybe it was sort of like it was lost in translation and he sort of meant, allow me to blame the players. Leave it to me. I'm going to slaughter these crats.
The thing is, Jim, that's the only explanation that makes some kind of sense.
Presumably he's going to break back in and take his stuff, right?
Well, yeah. I'm glad you said it, because I was going to if you didn't. But he's gone, ladies and gentlemen, he's gone. But West Brom, good win for them. Sessegnon scored against his former club and didn't really celebrate. Well done.
Pathetic.
Sessegnon was another one. Didn't Decanio call him irrelevant?
Not anymore.
Yeah, that is
hugely relevant.
Yeah. That's quite a lovely insult from our manager, considering what... just up the road, joking here or something like that. So, Ridgewell and Amalfitano. He had a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, brilliant goal from him.
So West Brom, they're up and running.
Slow start, but they seem to have found their feet now. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a nice fixture to have, isn't it, in the circumstances.
Let's talk about one of the best games of the weekend in England. West Ham 2, Everton 3. Ravel Morrison got the opener. Much has been talked and said about
I'm pleased for that for him, because I've heard reports that he's actually starting to really take his football seriously now, which is what was needed.
He was touted as like
it's Paul Scholes, wasn't he? Yeah. Got his first name on his shirt. That's big time.
Gary Neville did say a week or two ago on Sky, he said that he's played and trained with Ravel Morrison since he was a very young chap, and he said he can be whatever player he wants to be. So he's so much talent. It just depends.
Well, a bad one for a while he chose.
Yeah, he did choose to be a bad one, but apparently he's going to be a good one now. And if you think that Joe Cole can't really stay fit, they've not got an awful lot of creative options. So he can be a really important player for West Ham. And I think he knows that, and I think that's why Sam Allardyce has given him the opportunity. I'm pleased to see him taking it.
Yeah. They're forever gurgling gravy.
Should we talk about Baines' free kicks?
Ooh.
Lovely old job.
My
lovely
goodness.
Old job.
It's one of the most delightful things. Baines scoring a free kick.
There's a lovely sort of fan cam sort of where somebody's just filmed, because obviously the free kicks everyone has their cameras out for some fucking reason, and they're shouted by the next free kick, do it again, do it again.
He does.
Well, that reason clearly is to entertain people like you, Pete, which
it did. Yeah. It did. You're right.
The beauty of a Baines free kick is that it's always a banana shot.
Yeah,
you don't see so many of them. It's great.
The second one,
right in the corner.
Death touch.
The second one, you couldn't have placed in a better position with your hand. Yeah, it was right in the corner.
The second one, any player from any period in history would have gone, oh.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely, yeah.
It was glorious, just the way he touched it.
In off the post, ooh.
Would he take free kicks for England? I mean, probably Gerrard and Lampard are ahead of him in the pecking order. I know he doesn't often start.
He should do. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that Lukaku header was G-esque as well? He really put himself in there, didn't he? Really put himself on the line.
Knocked out from the collision artery.
What a warrior.
Didn't even know he scored.
It was a bit of good news for a minute when he comes round.
Yeah. Who scored, mate? Yeah.
You did lose oxygen to your brain for about 10 seconds. And
it was
but
that
you
good.
Did score.
Yeah.
Now your legs are gone.
Yeah, but a great win for Everton. I mean, West Ham did have Noble sent off after he scored a penalty.
Which was a sending off. I mean,
Two bookables.
Yeah, the second one. I can't really remember the first one, actually. But
I think
second
he pulled
one
was, the player back.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Which is a booking.
Straight yellow, and the second one was definitely yellow.
Straight yellow. Ah, but the day belonged to Bainesy. Look at old Leighton Baines. Another 3-2 scoreline was recorded in the Premier League at the weekend. It was Newcastle United 2, Hull 3. Steve Bruce was dancing on the touchline. Pete Donaldson.
There's a lot of that in Newcastle, isn't there? A lot of people
dancing at home,
jump around,
just dancing
doing
on
knee
your
slides.
Grave.
Pete, would that go down as a poor result, would it?
Yeah. But, you know, they always lose against Hull, so it's not like it's a massive surprise, but it would have been nice to have recorded. Yeah, like, I think it was the first, it would have been the first time since 2001 we won three matches on the trot.
I was at a wedding on Saturday, and the groom was a Newcastle fan, real broad Geordie. And I'm not joking.
A broadie.
On his wedding day, in the evening, he was actually annoyed. He was like... Just ruined me day. It's like your wedding day. How's it ruined your day?
I love the fact that you say, well, we always lose to Hull. Can you imagine if Pardew had said that?
Before the game. Yeah. We always lose to Hull. Forget it. Go on. Yeah. There's no point.
It's a no-pointer.
To be fair.
Yeah, it's a bonus if we get anything, which we won't, because we always lose.
Yeah.
Joking is going, well, new signing scored two goals.
Yeah. I think it's the first match he's attended this season, Kinnear and
it's the first time
he
sat next to Ashley. Yeah.
That groom I was talking to you about did actually say to me, we were 2-1 up when I did my speech. I don't know what's happened.
Brilliant.
Yeah, joking here said in the match programme at St James's Park, it was a very very frustrating that we did not add at least another signing to the squad in the recent window, but it was not for lack of effort. And went on to say a lot more. Didn't he not say, though, the other week when they said, why have you not signed any more players? He said, well, we were happy with the squad.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think he wrote that because there's not enough swear words in it.
And it wasn't written in crayon. Yeah.
But, I mean, Newcastle, Pete, I mean...
It was an interesting match, because I think once Kabay went off, once we started pumping the ball up, doing the long ball game, every time Newcastle play the long ball game, it's just kind of like, it just does not work. We look bad. Cissé just looks isolated and annoyed. It's another match he's not scored. It's just no good. Just no good. And defensively, they look really disorganised after two matches where they look really quite good indeed.
Defensively, they look like they don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, after two matches when they really, really did, which is the most galling thing. It's just, Hull are Hull, for crying out loud. Mm. Steve Bruce is Steve Bruce, for crying out loud.
You're putting that, when you see that fixture list come up and you're at home against a promoted club, you've got to do better than that. You can't see three at home to Hull. Mm. No disrespect to Hull, but I have a fair bit of disrespect to Hull because I don't think they're that good, but they shouldn't be conceding that many goals to them. And if Steve Bruce is dancing in celebration on the touchline, fucking get out of the game. You're in the wrong game. If you're making Steve Bruce dance, you're so shit. Get out of the game. Mm.
You can't be conceding goals where someone lofts in a free kick that just no one gets on the end of.
Mm. No, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly,
yeah. I think Steve Bruce got the memo that it is also called the Cave of Funk.
Yeah.
It's
dancing like a really embarrassing uncle at a wedding.
Do you like how he
which
calls...
he's almost certainly been in.
Yeah.
Do you like how he calls Gary Lineker Gaz on Match of the Day?
Oh. War Gaz. War
just,
Gaz.
Can you imagine him just twerking around the place?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Let's move on to another away win for Southampton. Mm-hmm. There's Liverpool. What a surprise. Great win for Southampton. It's a shame for Liverpool. They've done very well.
Bit of an off day for Liverpool, really. First goal they've conceded at the home this season, I think.
Yeah.
And they've generally been very good. So, yeah, it's just one of those days.
An anomaly. I think so.
I just can't see past Arsenal for the title.
Well, they won. Chelsea, though, they haven't won a game for a few games, but now they have against Fulham, Oscar and Obi Mikel.
Strange what's happening with Mata, isn't it? Mourinho's doing a proper Casillas on it.
Broke my heart to see him in the stands.
Well, Mourinho has specifically said now, I want him to be more persistent and be intelligent with the ball.
He said Oscar's got his spot.
Somebody give him the DVDs from last season.
Yeah.
This is typical of Mourinho as well, because I'm pretty sure he went out of his way to make sure everyone knew that Luiz and Mata were both fit. They're both fully fit, but it's not in the squad.
Yeah.
It's a really curious way
really
of doing
making
it.
A point.
It's like he just went, right, who had the best, passing goal scoring ratio, assist ratio last season? Went, right, he's out. Like you see
it. I'm the big
out.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like you'd be tempted to say, well, if he keeps being left out in the cold, man, I should go and get him for him, but blimey, he's not going to join that mob, is he? He's not join that mob this time in January.
It's like Mourinho joins clubs like prison. You go up to the hardest fella in the thing and punch him.
He shanked Juan Mata.
That's why Raul got out of there a few seasons before. Yeah. When the rumours started flying, he's like, I'm done.
Do you reckon he went out to Mata on the first train session, just gouged him in the eye? Said, get used to it.
I'm going to make you my bitch.
Yeah. I don't think Mourinho, especially if he's been doing that, is quite settled back into life at Stamford Bridge. Do you think?
No, it's a very different landscape, isn't it? The team's very different. He's even said he doesn't like the way they play, particularly after the Champions League game.
Yeah, but I'd say Pellegrini looks more settled than Mourinho.
Yeah, I agree. Can you get onto the real big news of that game involving Fulham?
Yeah, of course I can.
Yeah.
Marcus Bent.
I'm not being funny. I'm not being funny.
Darren Bent.
Marcus Bent. I'm not being funny. This is what the listeners want to hear. They don't care what we think about Wan Mata. They care about what we think about the Michael Jackson statue.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, it's being removed from the premises, returning it to Mohammed Al fired.
Does he know about it? Or not?
That's one in the eye. Yeah, Al fired, isn't it?
Just going to fly tip it. Like, on his,
imagine
his drive.
That, you know, when they took that, down that Saddam statue and there was that, and there was that big fat guy with a big hammer.
Yeah, I remember that.
Hitting the bottom of it. It took ages to come down.
Well, it needed the, maybe they're the American soldiers in the tank to move it.
Maybe they're going to get the team to do it. Like, they'll just like, throw a noose around it and drag
really
it down.
Stupidly put an American flag
what
on
I'd like to see
head.
Him do. What I'd like to see him do is basically take it to Al fired's house. Ring the doorbell and set out like a puppet so he thinks actually Michael Jackson's come back.
Yeah, but Al Fired would have a conversation.
I know, that's why it'd be so good.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, and someone should record that.
Can I just say, it's a bit selfish by Fulham because I go for runs at my lunch break in my office. It's right next to Craven Cottage and I really enjoy seeing the Michael Jackson statue every lunchtime. So now I'm not going to get to see it anymore.
But just be thankful you're one of the ones who have seen it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You haven't seen it.
Better to have loved and lost, isn't it?
He doesn't own Harrods anymore, does he? Does he own a little bit of it?
No, he sold it.
Because he was going to have it outside Harrods.
Well, he couldn't take it back to the returns. Sex.
I don't know where he's going to put it. I mean, it looks though it should be in Madame Tussauds.
It's brilliant. I know we've spoken about this before, but I love that Mohammed managed to get himself into a situation where he just had a statue of one of his dead mates knocking about.
I think it could do a job on the wing for United.
What the best thing about it was he couldn't for the life of him see why people would be a little bit disgruntled by that.
He was like, go and support Chelsea or something like that.
Are you mad? Apparently he came to watch us. He's obviously a Fulham fan. He's a king of pop. What are you doing with that camera in my face?
What's that
story.
Shit? What's your shit? What is your problem here?
Anyway,
why are you making a big deal out of this statue? It's a fine. It's a good statue. What's wrong with you?
Not even a good statue.
No, Andy, are you okay?
Oh, dear.
Very good.
But yeah, the statue is going to beat it. Hey!
Not good.
Not as good.
Okay. No. Good wins
certainly
for Arsenal.
Certainly not worth that laddiness.
No. Good wins for Arsenal and Spurs,
was
though.
A good win. Aaron Ramsey's got to be the most valuable Welsh footballer in the world
they're
at the moment, isn't he?
He gave it the old finger shush to the Stoke fans as well, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, good.
Who were booing him for having his leg broken.
Yeah. That's not the first time they've done that.
To be fair, that is a bit out of order from Ramsey.
Yeah. Stuck his shin bone right on shore across his foot.
Is that one of the stupidest things fans have done? Well, no, it's not, because we'd be here all day for the rest of the... But booing Ramsey.
Booing victims of racism. Booing.
Yeah. and that's just people in this studio.
Let's get out of England.
Yeah.
And go to Spain. La Liga happened. Rayo Vallecano 0, Barcelona 4. Not a surprise result, but there was a surprise statistic. Because for the first time in 136 years league matches, Barcelona did not have more possession than their opponents, Pete.
Bloody hell, that is pretty huge, to be fair.
But
I slagged off statistics earlier, but I mean, that's kind of sick.
Vallecano, I think, a second bottom.
Oh, mate, Vallecano have been on the end of some absolute spanking.
So why are they having more possession than Barcelona?
I don't know. When I saw in the running order, Marcus, you'd prepped this question.
Yes.
I did a bit of thinking about it, which is very much unlike me. Uh-huh. Tends to be my thinking after I speak, usually. I don't know whether Tata is... is making a sort of slightly different approach to away games.
Well, Martino.
Remember Barcelona were talking about... Well, lots of people say how Barcelona don't have a plan B and stuff like that. And so maybe he's thinking, well, we can do it a slightly different way. And they won 4-0, so it's worked. Mm. That thing I would say, though, is that Vallecano got hammered 5-0 against Atletico and 5-0 against Malaga, I think.
What I love, though, is that...
One less.
It's almost like some people are treating it as a Vallecano victory.
Yeah. In that context, it is. They're getting better.
Well, it was only 4 this week,
yeah,
boys.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
They're only not bottom because Sevilla have just lost their shit.
That's not the stat that matters.
No.
As we all know. But
That's not the stat that tatters.
Indeed. Yeah. But maybe Martino is experimenting with other ideas, because PK was one of the players who said recently, yeah, it is nice that we've got another plan, so to speak. Mm. I mean, I think under Guardiola...
Didn't he also massively chip off about Real Madrid in that interview?
Probably.
Saying, no, they don't win a damn thing and they're going to spend 100 million
on the player. Yeah, but I think that was the directors of Barcelona behind him poking him with his stick. Yeah. He's contractually obliged to say that in every interview. But with PK and a few others, you know, what they're saying is, under Guardiola, clearly there was only one plan. The thing is, that plan was bloody excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And it now appears to be working for Bayern Munich. I don't know if anyone saw the highlights of their game at the weekend. They did. It took them a while to get going, but when they did, it was absolutely sort of typical the Barcelona style we've expected already.
But I mean, against Schalke, also though, since Guardiola and his doctor, all controversial, have left Barcelona, then I think they might need a plan B because they might be a little bit more tired. That's all I'm saying.
I don't understand what you're trying.
Okay, I think many people have
sort of remarked about the manner in which Barcelona lost the Champions League last season. Yeah,
against Bayern
Munich and the way it was done and maybe they just as a reaction to that they think, well, we need to sort of better change it up if we need to. And
Alex Song's thinking, yes, here we go. Yeah. All in time for the World Cup. But a hat trick for Pedro. Nice to see. Real Madrid beat Getafe 4-1. Bale didn't feature, he was injured in the warm up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because Isco is literally a better player. Yeah. He's literally better than Bale.
Yeah. Isco's a great player.
Ronaldo's not too shabby.
Again, what you were saying about last week, the price tag of Gareth Bale sort of takes a bit of pressure off Neymar. It's exactly the same is true of Isco, more so.
He's so good, Isco.
He's a great player.
Yeah, against Getafe, he was just ridiculous. They couldn't do anything but foul him. They just could not do anything. And he's still so young as well.
And Iamendi, is that his name?
Iamendi.
He's getting some good game time. Nice to see.
But it seems to me a lot of if not all of their new signs have settled in really well.
Mm. Nice backheel from Ronaldo.
Yeah. Yes, just reminded him who's boss.
He hates Bale.
Oh, nice. Speaking of backheels, just fly back to the Premier League real quick. Nice backheel from Paulinho as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lovely one, wasn't it?
Serie A. There's lots of stuff happening in Serie A so far this season, and this weekend was no exception. There was the Rome
Derby.
Why
would stuff not happen?
Interesting stuff. Yeah. Lazio were beaten 2-0 by Roma. Roma won the first Rome Derby in 2.5 years. Their first
Feisty.
Mm. They also keep their 100% start to the season intact.
Balzaretti was really, very emotional when he scored, wasn't he?
Beautiful moment.
He said, there was a lovely quote from him saying, sometimes when you do something on the football pitch, you don't realise what you've done till after, but I knew what I'd done.
Yeah. He's not even from Rome, is he?
I don't think you need to be to get involved in
it's
such
normally
a
the hometown player. Players who behave like that, isn't it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know Italian people generally just emotional, aren't they?
Well, let them be.
Yeah. I like it. I enjoy that.
There was a big moment in the Milan-Napoli game. Pepe Reina saved a Mario Balotelli penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome,
saved
Pepe.
Very well.
Well, he's obviously listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we said well, you know, come to me for videos of a penalty-taking nature.
Well, I thought you were going to say, as a man who's missed many penalties in the past, I'll give you some advice.
Well, we said he always sticks it to the keepers. Right, the trouble is for the goalkeeper is he always plants it perfectly right.
Yeah,
it
was very near.
Interestingly, there was an Italian goalkeeper, ex-goalkeeper, who was on Italian television this week saying...
Marco Speller's right.
No, this is before the penalty was missed. He said he can tell where Balotelli's going to put his penalties. Depending on how quick his run-up is.
Okay.
So apparently he changes it depending on how fast he runs up. And he tries to do it so he looks like he wants the keeper to move first, doesn't he? And Reina didn't move first this time. But his reactions, Reina, are so good even now. That it was a superb save.
Reina's a good penalty stopper. We've seen in the past before.
But Balotelli had some afternoon. I'd like to know if any other player has won a penalty, missed a penalty, scored a goal from outside the area,
as well,
and been sent off after full time in the same game. That's unbelievable.
He had a proper little duel with Reina.
Yeah.
And the goal he finally did score was an absolute belter. So he sort of won.
Consolation, wasn't it? But Napoli are going great guns, aren't they?
They are.
But Benitez is a great manager. We've got this weird sort of coloured... A lot of people have got a weird sort of like coloured opinion of Benitez because of maybe he had a bit of a meltdown with Ferguson and he left maybe a little bit under a cloud at Liverpool. But he got in the second in the league. Yeah, he's won the UEFA Cup with Chelsea.
He's won two European trophies with two English sides. Mm.
Yeah.
Two Champions League finals with Liverpool, won one of them. Yeah. And they played better in the second one.
With Valencia.
But there's a number of foreign managers that have come to the league. Like Wande Ramos was another one who was a good manager. Mm. You know, and Benitez. And Sven, Ramos, you know, there's a few of them.
Ramos was poor in England, though, whereas Benitez
was
achieved a lot.
They didn't hear that little mention there, listeners. I think I can away with it. But yes, Benitez. Ramos, Sven, there's a few. So, they did that time. But Higuain getting the winner. I mean,
loves it.
Indeed.
He started to.
Duck to warm water.
And the type of goal he scored wasn't a typical Higuain goal either, which is encouraging for him.
Yeah. The old lady, they won again. Tevez and Llorente. Good to see Llorente scoring.
He's had a torrid time, isn't he? Or seemed to be up to
then. He's had a funny old time, really, hasn't he?
He seemed to celebrate alone. which is worrying.
Did he?
There's talk that Carlos Tevez told him he was the worst strike partner he'd ever had. I don't know
Carlos.
How true that is.
Well, Tevez Carlos. Did score a lovely goal, but yeah. He's, as we know, a disruptive little
Tevez
bastard.
Has played with... Who has Tevez played with? He's supposed to play with Welbeck, hasn't he? Who did he play... Who did Tevez play up front with West Ham? Not worse than Llorente.
Carlton Cole, perhaps. Yeah.
Come
at the same
on, Tevez.
Come on, Tevez.
That's poor.
Very poor. And Inter won 7-0. They've had a great start to the season, haven't they?
It's great to see Milito get a couple. Did he get a couple?
On the new boys. Milito, yeah, he came on. Well, it was a funny thing, actually, that result. And the reason why I put that in there, because new boys, Sassuolo, they've the first time in Serie A, so it's a bit of a shame to see them get hammered by the big boys. But normally in Italy, they have a culture of not scoring too many goals. Well, you know, when you're 4-0 up, 5-0 up, you kind of ease off. That's the culture there. Inter... When I think they were 4-0 up, and then Milito came on, I thought, oh no, this is he's going to help himself to a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, 7-0. So very, very rare scoreline that, ladies and gentlemen, in Serie A.
Also,
the culture.
Milito, I'm pretty sure Milito didn't know whether he was going to be able to come back at all after that injury he had. He's not getting any younger, obviously, and so it's great to see him score a couple.
Great play.
I think he got two anyway.
And just before we finish the football-y roundup in Europe, Ligue 1, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Monaco 1. Ibrahimovic and Falcao, the scorers of the two big boys.
Yeah, two sort of really, really sort of almost tap-ins.
Ibra scored with his studs again.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, nicked in front of the keeper, didn't he?
It was Falcao with a very brave diving header.
Was it a header?
I think
it was like a tap-in. I thought it was with his foot, but it was an odd angle. I only saw it.
It was a very odd angle, but I think it was not the bravest piece of heading work we saw
on
the weekend. Did you
see
what was his name? Inguez or somebody for Argentinos Juniors.
I've not seen this.
He does a sliding tackle with his head.
I've never seen anything like it.
Broke three teeth.
Yeah, but it was very much deliberate.
Like, yeah, well, I think he was falling over.
There's a point where he makes a conscious decision to go, I'll just do it with my face.
He loses in it.
He's going down there and he goes, in for a penny, smash. Yeah. Out they go.
But he also sort of manages to successfully take out the other player with his face.
Really it's quite John Terry-esque, isn't it?
The other player sort of stares down as if to go, I'm not going off for this.
Yeah. Kicked in the face, broke his teeth. Get out. Right.
But it was really more that guy was head-butted in the foot.
Man and ball. Ed and Ball.
Alan Ball. Well, actually,
Zoe Ball.
We are.
Balls out the bath.
Put them back in.
Yeah.
Well, we are staying in Europe for the next bit, but we're stopping with the actual playing side. We're going to go to the FIFA house. FIFA house, if we've got time. There's a lot of talk at the moment surrounding the 2022 World Cup, which will be held in Qatar. The debates are, should Qatar host the tournament in winter or summer, and should Qatar host the tournament at all?
No.
Well, new evidence has apparently emerged, ladies and gentlemen, that
sun still exists.
They're suggesting there was foul play during the bidding process. Who would have thought? Sepp Blatter, who was, and probably still is, believe it or not, against the World Cup being in Qatar. He is, actually. Let it be known, Sepp Blatter is not for that World Cup.
They played to Sepp there.
And he doesn't always get his way. He wanted 2006 in South Africa, which went to Germany. So he's still evil, but maybe not as much as we thought.
I don't see a massive problem with having being in that place. It's a good, you know, it'll be a really interesting World Cup. It'll fuck everything up.
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I'll tell you there's new evidence. Blatter himself said there was definitely direct political influence in the voting.
Oh, you get that every blooming time.
Blatter's saying it. He said European leaders recommended to voting members to opt for Qatar because of major economic interests in the country. Now, as we know, if there is political influence, then FIFA, they ban countries, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that before. Mm. Blatter let it be clear, Blatter does not want the World Cup in Qatar, and he hates Michel Platini. Mm. And Platini wants the World Cup in Qatar.
Is that why he doesn't want it in Qatar?
Maybe. Yeah. It's one of the reasons. I think Platini wanted, he likes a legacy. That's why he pushed for it to be in South Africa. He got his way in the end, but I think that was a success. In the Russian World Cup that will be in 2018. Again, a bit dodgy, but Russia can host a World Cup. They will be ready for that, I would
imagine. You can't get into a situation where hosting the World Cup is like a closed shop and only certain countries can do
it. No, absolutely.
Qatar can definitely host a World Cup. God, good God, they're rich.
But not currently. They've miles away from
it. It's also years away.
Pete, you're not as rich as you because you do a lot of voiceover.
you do get a lot of voiceover work.
Yeah. Not for football
popping up on everything.
No, specifically not for Football Manager this year. No. phone didn't ring, did it? You're like Alan Kirbishley, you were sitting there. You knew it was coming up. You knew the job was coming up. I just hit the phone on loud. You might have had it on at the dinner table to your missus. Didn't ring. Have I got reception? Is that reception? Yeah, it didn't ring, did it?
Full buzz.
Jim.
I do have to agree with what certain people from FIFA have said, is that, you know, the World Cup is for everyone. So, you know, in theory, I'm sure, you know, Qatar could do a very, very good World Cup, but it just smacks of so much corruption, doesn't it?
You do, yeah.
But it's always really corrupt.
You've got to have some sort of process. So I understand the principle of giving it to a country that hasn't had it before and not making it a close shot.
It's not just a country, it's a region.
Indeed.
That's not had it before.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've got to do things that you've got to say, okay, then you need to show willing. You've got to set up a really successful league first. You've got to show how much appetite there is for the game there. You've got to attract players. You've got to do all these things. You can't just stick it in there and then go, well, there you go, you can have it.
But when have South Africa ever attracted players? You know what I mean? Where they haven't got a big league system. But what I would argue is how into the bid system for the World Cup everyone was, and how much of a big deal it was.
Yeah.
Who bidded for the European Championships?
Oh, in 2020?
Nobody. I think I made a bid at one point.
Durra, my house.
And then you realised the Football Manager money wasn't coming through, so you couldn't afford it.
Well, actually, in 2020, a lot of countries have now bid for the semi-finals and the final.
Yeah, but now it's gone European-wide, but it only went European-wide because there were no bids coming in.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Turkey sort of went, we'll have it if we don't get the Olympics or whatever. Mm. I think at the last minute, Scotland, Wales and Ireland went, yeah, we'll have it. Mm. Nobody seems to want it.
And UEFA literally went, what? I've never even heard of these countries. Scotland?
It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing, though, that, you know...
Andy Rox was just there going, yeah.
Everyone's complaining about the European Championships being held across Europe and stuff.
I'm not.
See it as a massive problem in the same way that we enjoyed World Cup 94. Yeah, and that was a massive distance to be travelled. But it only came about because nobody bidded for it. Nobody saw the financial, decision behind it. Sort of say, oh, well, we need this. This is going to make us a lot of money, because it clearly doesn't make anybody that much money. The European Championships.
The only obvious solution to both the Euros in 2022 in 2020 and the World Cup in 2022 being slightly in doubt over what's going to happen. Put them in Mexico. It's always worked before. Yeah. If it's an issue, just have it in
Mexico.
They're the
perennial
fullback
option. They're just the fullback option, aren't they?
That is very true.
There's definitely no criminal problems in Mexico at the moment, so easily do it.
The trouble with the 2022 World Cup, will it be in January at the start of the year? Or in December at the end of the year, you see?
Who knows?
Oh, I'd love to have a Christmas.
Would you?
Imagine a Christmas World Cup would be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
Excuse to get away at the sunshine.
I'm on board.
On
board.
Yeah.
I won't be going. I'll be watching it with my turkey.
Yeah.
I'm not missing out on one dinner.
If they qualify. Oh, you ruined that. As in the country.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, they disagree with you, Sepp. But I'm Team Sepp on this issue, I'm afraid, still.
As you are on most things, to be fair.
Usually.
Well, you're dining at football's top table these days, aren't you, sir?
FA Club. Speller over there.
You definitely think that ladies' football should have those tighter pants, don't you?
To be fair,
you're bang on board with that.
Since Sepp's got into FIFA, women's football's grown a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
The man likes them women's. anyway.
I'm clipping that.
It's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. And once again, I have had very little to do with it. Thank you to...
It's good delegation.
It really is. This is FIFA delegation.
Yeah.
Hello to Ben Walsh. Thank you for all of this. He's even come up with the title as well.
Ben.
N'Gog Marry a Void.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But
it's better written down.
I can't emphasise this enough to our listeners. Don't give him suggestions and he'll have to do it himself. Stop helping him.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Busy bee.
Come on, get on with it.
What are you doing? Not recording voiceovers.
You camped out outside Football Manager with a placard. Free Pete Donaldson. Pray for Pete.
Oh dear.
Pray for Pete.
Get on with it.
I was born in Seguela, Ivory Coast, on December the 31st, 1976.
Stop. Francis Benali.
No.
Stop. Didier Drogba.
No.
Stop. Is it Lilian Thuram?
No. I made my professional club debut for Stade d'Abidjan 94-95. I got my big break a year later in a move to Montpellier, where I played 76 times, scoring 25 goals. I was officially the best player on Championship Manager 97-98.
Stop. Ibrahim Bakayoko.
It is
Ibrahim. Yeah. Oh, well done, Sam.
That's two in a row, I think. I'm on a hat-trick.
Yeah. I think I got a 4.5 million move to the Premier League in 1998. He played a total of 23 times in England, scoring 7 goals in all competitions. Not the worst ever. Memorable goal against Blackburn, of course. I went back to France a year later to Marseille. I played 115 games there. Played 45 times for Ivory Coast, 30 goals. Again, an excellent, excellent return. 2010-2011, I was the top scorer in the Greek second division. My nickname in England was Bakayoko Joke, or...
Was it? I don't remember that either.
Because I was gash. A little bit rude. Ben Walsh.
You let yourself down there.
Let yourself down.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for that.
Not very gentle, Ben.
No. Correspondence?
Go on,
have
then.
Have you got any emails, or was it just me this
week? Just you, baby.
All right. That's what the listeners want. Question of the week this week is, where do you expect Paolo Di Canio to pop up next, and what will he be doing? First answer, Abyssinia. Which is one for the Italian politics fans.
Okay.
Second answer. That was from Warsaw Football, by the way. Second, writing a lifestyle blog for the Daily Mail. You can notice a theme here.
I would love to read that.
That's from Ian Lane. John Hissett suggests making a music video to If You Don't Know Me By Now and turning up at the Sunderland training ground with a dog to lift morale.
He's not going to phone ahead.
George Ogier says, working in a dominatrix club where he'll continue to get paid to tell people they're worthless pieces of shit.
Very creative.
Coming up, this is from Gooner John, and I like this one, because I want you guys to consider it.
Yeah.
The next Muppet movie is Animal the Drummer. He does look like him, doesn't he?
Mm.
I like that as a lookalike.
If he was going to be a Muppet, it would be Animal.
Yeah. Eyebrows, open mouth, yeah, I'd go with that.
Yeah. Daniel tours knee through the Facebook on another politic-ish one. Hopefully British Rail.
I like that.
And Sam Wingrove follows up with at Club Wembley with Marcus quaffing caviar and swan's blood. Anything to add to that, Marcus?
He'll have to tone it down a bit.
Yeah. And will he have to endorse some sort of Adidas thing?
He'll have his own stuff on the go.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Paul Horswood's making a point. Probably the Football Ramble, and probably launching the new and improved Paolo Di Canio Hall of Fame.
Not coming back. That's not going to happen.
And let's finish off with two more. David Abbott suggests the lead suspect in the trial of John O'Shea's murder. And friend of the Ramble, Murray James, Syria or Syria, either way, using chemical weapons. That's it from me.
Sterling work.
Hey, you guys got any suggestions?
That was naughty, Murray.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Naughty Murray.
I only got through the net because he's friend of the Ramble.
Okay.
And it's a clause.
Past the firewall.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you listening once again. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete. I must remind everyone that Saturday, rock and roll football. Get your head back in the game, Marcus Speller. Man City, you're going to be travelling to the Villa, and we're going to be taking in that match on Absolute Radio. You can listen on absoluteradio.co.uk. Gene Simmons in the studio beforehand as well.
Wow.
Talking about his love of, I don't know, the Barclays Premier League.
Should have got him here for this.
Now say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye,
Jim.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, darlings.
I'm doing the Gene Simmons tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not really an audio one, that.
It's a little bit. What a disgusting noise.
That's what I say about your contribution.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.